Welcome to Abiding Word Ministries, where you will find distinctively biblical counseling. Let's join Vic Smith as he helps us strengthen our relationship with God and with others through the practical teaching of God's Word.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good to see all of you this afternoon. I hope you're doing well. Thank you for this time that we can be together to think about the things of the Lord and building a life that is pleasing to God. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. And Lord, we are grateful for your love for us. I thank you for this day. I thank you that it's a day that you have made and we rejoice and are glad in it. And I thank you for this time that we can come together, Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I thank you even more for your promise that where two or more are gathered in your name, that there you are in the midst of them. We invite you, Lord, to meet with us today. We invite you to conspicuously lead and guide and direct in all that is said and done, that it would bring glory to you and good to the body of Christ. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for the cross and the empty tomb, and we thank you for this time. May it bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as y'all know, this is our third in a series of four times together. And in our first time together, we talked about a good start to the Christian life based on Psalms chapter 1. In our second time together, we talked about thinking straight from Proverbs chapter 2. And today we're going to talk about building character. We're going to set things into motion. We're going to talk about what is our part, what is God's part, and how do we go about it? How do we build a life that is pleasing to God? Of all of the personalities of Scripture, I don't think there's anyone better qualified to help us in this than the great Apostle Peter. Peter certainly knew what it was to build character. He knew what it was to build discipline into his life. And I think Peter would tell us that there's an easy way and a hard way, and he would help us to find the easy way. If you would, turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll be looking today at verses 1 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word. May the Spirit of God give us understanding and application to our lives, that we be more pleasing to you. In your name we pray. What an incredible passage of Scripture Peter has given us. As we start unpacking it, beginning in verse 1, obviously Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, is speaking. And he's speaking to them that have obtained like precious faith with them through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So clearly, Peter is talking to the church. He is talking to fellow believers. In verse 3, he tells us, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In verse 4, he says, we are given exceedingly great and precious promises. And in verse 5, he says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. If you write in your Bibles, you might want to circle the word given in verse 3, the word given in verse 4, and the word add in verse 5. Because here Peter is telling us what is God's part and what is our part. In verse 3, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us. The word knowledge appears 5 times in these 8 verses. And as we know from Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is through the knowledge of God that we build and strengthen our faith and our character. Peter's telling us in verse 3 that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. Ladies and gentlemen, there is absolutely nothing that we need to live a life pleasing to God that God has not given us. I think that is perhaps one of the most important truths that we as Christians can learn. We have everything that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us. There is nothing that we need to live the Christian life, a life pleasing to God, that we have not been given. In verse 4, Peter tells us that whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Some theologians believe that there are 30,000 promises in the Word of God. 30,000 promises. If we drew upon a new promise each and every day of our lives, never repeating one, we could go approximately 82 years and 2 months without having to revisit the same promise. But it's also important to know that most of the promises in God's Word are very conditional. Very few promises in the Word of God are unconditional. Most of them, the promise is conditional on action on our part. If we do this, then God will provide the promise. So we are given everything that we need for life and godliness. We are given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, and that means being conformed to the image of Christ, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have been given everything we need for life and godliness, and we have been given exceeding great and precious promises. And to this, giving all diligence, verse 5, we are to add to our faith. And then Peter lists 7 character traits that we are to build into our lives. As we appropriate the precious gifts that God has given us, as we appropriate the great and precious promises, our part is to use those resources with all diligence that we would add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, kindness, and love. And if you notice, these are remarkably similar to the fruit of the Spirit, and that is no coincidence. We're to add to our faith virtue. Virtue here is spiritual courage. Virtue is the courage to live out the Christian life in a hostile world. This was written as the Roman persecution was revving up to full speed, and Christians were endangered. They could suffer for their faith. They could, in fact, die for their faith. And so the first of the character traits that we are to build into our life with all diligence is virtue, spiritual courage to stand for what is right, to stand for our Lord, regardless of the consequences that we might face. It is courage. The second character trait that we are to add to our faith is knowledge. Knowledge is experiential, practical knowledge and skill. It is discipline. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no easy way to build knowledge. Knowledge is a process, not an event. It would be wonderful if when we were born again, if the Lord had just instantly programmed us with all of Scripture and Scripture knowledge and just downloaded all of that into our heart and mind. But it doesn't happen that way. We have to daily make it a top priority to spend time in God's Word, to spend time in prayer, and to, with all diligence, hide God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. But it is also important that that knowledge is not merely academic. And I think that is where so often we can fall short in the Christian life, because we can study God's Word academically. We can memorize God's Word academically, as we would study history or philosophy or literature. If that does not affect the way that we live, ladies and gentlemen, then we become nothing but Pharisees. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees arguably knew God's Word about as well as anybody, but it did not affect their lives. It did not affect their hearts. And that's why our Lord had some of the most stinging words for the Pharisees when He said that they were whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. A.W. Tozer said it well, "A doctrine has no practical value unless it is prominent in our thoughts and makes a difference in our lives." A doctrine has no practical value unless it is prominent in our thoughts and makes a difference in our lives. The knowledge that we are to have should be prominent in our thoughts, and it should make a difference in the way that we live. It should make a profound difference in our relationship with God and in our relationship with others. To our knowledge, we are to add temperance. And temperance is self-control. To our faith, we're to add virtue. To our virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance or self-control. Self-control is self-discipline. We're to discipline ourselves mentally. We're to discipline ourselves physically. We are to discipline ourselves spiritually. It has been well said that we are what we are because of the choices that we make. If we build self-control and temperance into our lives, we will make godly choices. Our virtue and our knowledge will lead to temperance, to self-discipline. Our virtue and knowledge will make a profound difference in the choices that we make and the disciplined life that we live. In illustrating this principle, R.G. Lee, speaking of Audubon, the famous naturalist, said of Audubon that he counted his physical comforts as nothing compared with success in his work as a naturalist. He would crouch motionless for hours in the dark and fog, feeling himself well rewarded if after weeks of waiting, he secured one additional fact about a single bird. He would have to stand almost to his neck in nearly stagnant water, scarcely breathing, while countless poisonous moccasin snakes, water moccasins, swam past his face, and great alligators passed and repassed his silent watch. Quote, "It was not pleasant," Audubon said, as his face glowed with enthusiasm. "But what of that? I have a picture of the bird," end quote. He would do that for a picture of a bird. Ladies and gentlemen, that is self-discipline. That is temperance. Audubon's goal was to learn something of a bird. Audubon's goal was to get a picture of a bird. When God looks at our lives, when He looks at our hearts, what does He see in the way of temperance? What does He say of our self-discipline? What do we say on a cold winter morning when the alarm goes off and our spirit is eager to get into the Word of God and our flesh is saying, you know, we could stay here another 15 minutes? What if after a hard and long day, the Spirit of God is drawing us to intercede, to pray for others in intercessory prayer, and the flesh is saying, I'm really tired, the Lord knows I need rest? What about when the Spirit is calling us to fast and pray, and the flesh is saying, I really don't want to skip that meal? What comforts are we willing to deny ourselves for the greater good of the Spirit? That is what temperance looks like. To our temperance, we are to add patience. Patience is also known as endurance. It is endurance of persecution. It is endurance of adversity, of suffering. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talked a little bit of his sufferings. And here is when he said many times he was imprisoned, he was beaten, he faced death, he was caned, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was scourged, he was persecuted, all for the sake of the gospel. Paul told Timothy to endure hardness or hardship as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we willing to endure for the sake of the gospel? What does it take to stop us in our tracks? Patience is a character trait. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a result of abiding in Christ. It is waiting on Him that we would renew our strength. It is seeing His strength being made perfect in our weakness. It is a direct function of our relationship with our Lord Jesus. To our patience, we are to add godliness. Godliness is Christian character and integrity above reproach. There is no appearance of evil. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are practical. What things are we willing to give up that we would live a life that is above reproach? What choices are we willing to make that would allow us to have true godliness in our lives? Verse 7, and to godliness we are to add brotherly kindness. Ephesians 4:32, Paul tells us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Kindness is doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. It is treating others the way that we would want to be treated. It is where Paul would tell us in Philippians to look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others, and to esteem others as more important than yourself. To kindness, we are to add love. Love is the pinnacle of Christian character. In John 13:35, our Lord Jesus said, "By your love, men will know that you're my disciples." Isn't that interesting? He didn't say by your works. He didn't say by your knowledge of Scripture, by how many passages you had memorized, by how many mission trips you've gone on, or years we have sung in the choir or taught Sunday school. He said, "By your love, men will know that you're my disciples." All of those things may be expressions of our love, but here he goes to the heart. Here he goes to the motive. Why do we do the things that we do? If the motive is not love, ladies and gentlemen, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us it is nothing. Love is giving. Love is an act of our will, not of our emotions. Greater love has no man than he that would lay down his life for his friends. Love, by definition, involves sacrifice. It is giving whatever we have that is in the genuine best interest of another. And Peter goes on to tell us, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If these things be in you and abound. We have a choice, ladies and gentlemen. We are all given free will, and we choose not only once in salvation, not even every day when we have our quiet time, but throughout the day. Ladies and gentlemen, we make choices. I dare say we make 1,000 choices a day that reflect the virtue, the knowledge, the temperance and patience and godliness and kindness and love that we choose to have or not have, to build or not build into our lives. If we make the choices to build those disciplines, then the promise is, and it is a very conditional promise, that we will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through His Word, through His Spirit, through His cross, through the empty tomb, through the church, through the ministering spirits. And He has given us exceedingly great and precious promises. But again, most of those promises are very conditional. If we do our part, then God will do His part. We cannot do His part, ladies and gentlemen, but He will not do our part. He's given us everything that we need to have a life that is pleasing to Him. And He is there to help us each and every step of the way through His divine power, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. But our part, giving all diligence, is to build these disciplines into our lives. It is very, very hard work. But the promises are great, because these are the things that will count at the judgment seat of Christ. This passage, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, is not one to be read quickly. It is rather one to be meditated on over a period of hours, days, weeks, months. It is one to be thought about. It is one to be carried with us. Perhaps even to do a Bible study of each of these seven character traits. To look up in a concordance, to look up the word knowledge, to look up temperance, patience, godliness, kindness, love. To do a word study on each of them, to look at where they're mentioned in Scripture, to look at the people who are identified with those character traits. And then very intentionally and diligently, as an act of our will, to work those disciplines into our lives. Step by step and block by block, exactly as the Apostle Peter said. Then and only then will they make us that we will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we said a few moments ago, it is very possible to study God's Word academically, as we would any other study, philosophy, history, literature. But the promise that we've talked about earlier in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, to those who believed on Him, Jesus said, if you continue in My Word, or if you abide in My Word, then you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If our study of God's Word only leads us to head knowledge and not to a deeper relationship with our Lord, then it accomplishes nothing. But if the Word of God leads us to hearing that builds our faith, then we will go from entry-level Christianity, where we are following Jesus at a distance, to being His true disciples. And it is through that relationship as a true disciple of Christ that we know the truth that makes us free. Ladies and gentlemen, as we study God's Word, as we meditate on the Word of God, as we cry out for knowledge and lift up our voice for understanding, it is then that the Holy Spirit helps us to take that knowledge and build it into our personal one-on-one relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven forbid that our time in God's Word would be a verse a day to keep the devil away. Heaven forbid that it would be a quick devotion that we read while racing out the door with our Pop-Tart and our cup of coffee. Our knowledge should lead us in to a relationship. If these things are in us and abound, they will make us that we will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. May this be a passage that we read often. May this be a passage that we meditate on regularly. And giving all diligence, may we build these disciplines into our life. Let me close us in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we sure do love You. Lord, we're grateful for Your love for us. We are grateful that according to Your divine power, You have given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. We're grateful that You have given us exceedingly great and precious promises. And Lord, would You help us to give all diligence to add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness kindness, and to kindness love. That as these things abound in us, we will neither be barren nor unfruitful in our knowledge of you. Lord, we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May we be diligent in hiding your word in our heart, that we not sin against you. I thank you for each of these men and women. I thank you for their love for you, as evidenced by their being here. I thank you for your love for them, as proven by the cross. I thank you for the plans that you have for every man and woman here, to prosper and not harm them, that they would have a future and a hope. May we be found faithful, Lord, then to search for you with all of our hearts. May your word not return void, Father. May it accomplish that which it was sent forth to do. And we will be careful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.